Well, we've been thinking a fair bit about hearing already. So let's move on to chapter 7, where we're thinking about our passage, particularly this morning, verse 31 to the end there. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means, "Be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Well, let's pray as we come to God's word. Thank you that we've been able to read your word already a number of times this morning. Lord, you say that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Lord, that applies to your word, and we pray that you might give us ears to hear and that we might be those that speak of you for your glory. Amen. So I do have chapter 7 and 8 there open in front of you. Not being able to hear well does have consequences. It could be very selfish as the lady decides to switch her hearing aid off so she can live in a life of peace and quiet, like leaving the phone off the hook. I wonder if you've done that. Or it could be for survival purposes. You know, you're in the classroom and it's very noisy and you have very selective hearing as to whom you respond to. It could be very frustrating trying to listen to one voice in the middle of a room full of chatting people. It requires great effort. Or it can be quite amusing, actually. As one instance in a cafe goes, there was a group sat around a table. They're listening to a couple in the next table. And one whispers, "They've been to the zoo because I hear her mention a trained deer." "No," says another, "they said reindeer." A third pipes up, "I'm sure they were talking about musicians, for she said a trained ear." "Not at all," says a fourth. "I'm sure she said, find out about the train, dear." At this, the lady leans across from the table and said, "Actually, I was asking my husband if it rained here last night." So, if your hearing's not perfect, you can misunderstand, can't you? And miss the point. But sometimes hearing or not being able to hear can be much more serious. For example, when you're at the airport and you miss the last call to board the plane. Or even more seriously, when there's somebody shouting and saying the lorry's reversing and it's reversing towards you. How is your hearing? Some things are important, some less so. Missing a plane is not the end of the world, but being run over certainly is. Well, like a good Baptist, I have 3 points this morning. The event we're going to be thinking about, this passage there, what happened, and then think about why it happened, and then think about the message for you and I from that passage. So let's think about the event itself, and it's fairly simply put there. Verse 31, where are they? Well, they're traveling around, they're in the region east of Lake Galilee. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. Why did they do that? Well, if you go back to chapter 5, you see that Jesus had been across to that area of on the east side and healed the demoniac and told him not to tell anybody, but he went in, it says, in chapter 5, the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. So they'd heard and they'd seen already Jesus' power. And Matthew says in a parallel passage in Matthew 15, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. So they bring this man, and he is in a sorry state. He's probably become deaf, and therefore his speech was increasingly incoherent. He was tongue-tied, or as the word signifies, that he could scarcely speak. So the crowd brought this man to Christ. They pleaded, they begged, please touch him, please put your hands on this man. And they wanted him to do what the prophets of old used to do, put their hands on to bring some divine healing, impart some blessing, take notice of this needy man. It says that he took him aside, away from the crowd. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spat and touched the man's tongue. Jesus didn't speak to the man, but put his fingers in his ears. The very visible acts that don't contain anything in themselves. There's no particular power in that. Jesus used lots of different techniques, but he wanted to make it clear that everything was from him. He was the source of power. And those who were watching from a distance, because if you remember, he went away from the crowd, they could see what he was doing. He looks up to his Father in heaven. He looks up to heaven, from whom all things come, and he gives him the glory. Jesus often looked up. In fact, when he was feeding the 5,000, you remember, he said, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks and then broke the loaves. So let us look up to heaven frequently with thankful hearts, because everything that we have comes from him, a good and generous God. As the psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then Jesus, with a deep sigh, pitying this man's suffering, said to him, Ephphatha. You need a lot of front teeth, I think, to say that properly. Which in Syriac means, be opened. Be opened. So Christ's words, his commands, have power. By speaking, he can immediately remove this man's impediment. He can change the man. It says, at this, verse 35, in other words, at his words, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. When Jesus opens the ears, then the mouth speaks. Jesus commanded them, it's interesting, he says to them, not to tell anyone, but then the man goes off and keeps talking about it. Now he could hear. He wanted to speak. And when he spoke of Christ. Jesus wanted to be, he didn't want to short circuit his ministry by this turning into something that was just gossiped around. He didn't want them to come and make him some sort of earthly king. And he didn't want to speed up his removal to Jerusalem sometime later to die on the cross and stir up the jealousy of the Pharisees. So I think that's the reason why Jesus often said to people, you know, don't go and tell everyone straight away after he was risen from the grave. The crowd saw what had happened, and we read the people were overwhelmed with amazement. He does everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So that is the what. That is the event. So up on the board here, on the screen, we're going to go through a little bit and see the situation that we're looking at. First of all, this account is in Mark's Gospel, and it's only in Mark. Now, Mark, like the other Gospel writers, he has probably more content than he can put into his scroll. He, speaking under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, selects, arranges, orders the content to make a point. So it's very important to see, and I hope you can follow me in the next few minutes when you have chapter 7 and 8 open, to see how it fits together. It's a bit like if you go to the cenotaph and lay a wreath. Somebody from another country might think, well, what's that all about? You need the context, don't you? You need to understand what the cenotaph is and what the time of year is and why we're doing it. And then it all starts to make sense. So if you just take this healing in isolation, you might say, oh, well, Jesus loves to help people with their hearing. That's not the main point. In fact, if you think miracles are all about helping somebody with their leg or their arm or their hearing, you've missed the point. It's not saying he isn't compassionate. He is. But that's not the main point. So let's follow through. So that I hope you can see that, the deaf and mute man. And it's in Mark chapter 7 and chapter 8. But actually the context starts with the Pharisees. And if you notice, there's an awful lot of time given over to that run-in with the Pharisees. And therefore it's important we need to understand that. And so what happens after that really is connected with this experience with the disciples and the Pharisees. The disciples didn't really understand what was going on with the Pharisees. So they come and ask him. And Jesus explains it to them. And the problem with the Pharisees that Jesus was saying is that it's hollow. They're hollow. They have false worship. They're quick with their lips, but actually there's nothing going on in their hearts. You see? And so the disciples come and say, we don't really understand this whole episode. So Jesus explains it to them. And they still don't click it. So Jesus says, oh, tell you what, we're going on a long walk. Okay? And that's what they do. Let me go and show you what this is all about. And it is a long walk. If you have the bulletin in front of you, you can see that he's have good eyesight, as well as hearing, hopefully. He's on the left-hand side of the lake, and he goes all the way up to Tyre. And actually, Sidon is further up the coast, so it's a long walk. It's taken days. And a long walk and plenty of time to talk, plenty of time to teach. And actually, on his arrival, he hides. He doesn't actually go into Tyre and Sidon. He goes into the region of Tyre, and then he goes north to Sidon, which is off the map there. He arrives, and then he hides, just to make the point even more dramatic. And then, kind of out of nowhere, the Syrophoenician woman appears. She comes and falls at his feet to plead for her demon-possessed daughter. And so, in the backwater, away from where God's people are, the Pharisees, who should know everything, don't. But here, a long way away, in the middle of nowhere, suddenly popping out, is a Syrophoenician woman. And he's basically saying, look, disciples, these people have empty faith. This is what true faith looks like. And she earnestly pleads with Christ to heal her daughter. And that's a story which is earlier on in that passage. You can see it there, 24 and onwards. A wonderful example of genuine faith, which the Pharisees didn't have. It's genuine. And it's a long way back as well. And they don't stop on the western side of the lake or even the north, but they continue to the other side, down to the Decapolis. And the Decapolis means the 10 cities. And it covers a large area. But it says the region of the Decapolis. And other translations, the Syriac and Persian, renders the word to the borders of the Decapolis. And the Arabic says to the middle of the coasts of the 10 cities. So if you look on your map, you can see it's to the northern part there by the lake, which is the area that they now go to. Again, plenty of time to talk on the road. It's a long, long way. And long talks and long walks are not easily forgotten. So when they arrive, they bring some people bring to him this deaf mute. And there we are. And the healing takes place, as we've just heard that earlier. So Jesus is there with his disciples in this largely pagan area. And we know it's pagan because that's where the pigs were, if you remember from the demoniac. And Jesus looks at his disciples and thinks, well, have they understood yet the whole point of real faith about who I am? Do they know who I am? Can they really trust me? He's already fed the 5,000. So now he gives more evidence by feeding the 4,000. Okay? And then, after that passage, feeding the 4,000, beginning of chapter 8, a little bit further on in chapter 8, verse 17, it says, now, do you understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls or pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. Don't you remember, Jesus said? In other words, the whole point of the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, and John tells us this, is to show that Jesus is the bread of life. I am all that you need. If you have me, you have everything. I can provide all that you need. I am the source of true life. Disciples, are you getting it? They're not, you see. They've taken leave of their senses. Their faculties are not functioning properly. They're not getting it. That's the problem. So, at the end of that feeding of the 4,000, Jesus asks them this question again, doesn't he? Gets the disciples to one side and says, look, after all that you've seen, are you able to see? Are you able to hear? Can you see? Can you hear? Are you not listening to what I'm saying? Are you not seeing the miracles that have been happening in front of you? You have eyes, but you don't seem to see what's in front of you. You're blind to the obvious. They still haven't got it, so they have to put their sandals on, and it's another long walk. And you can see on the map, they go around, probably on the west side, because it says they go to Dalmanutha. And then they head round the lake and back up north again. And this time, they're on the way to Bethsaida. And I wonder if anybody remembers what happened at Bethsaida. Well, that's where Jesus fed the 5,000. But what kind of place is Bethsaida? The disciples are thinking, look, we don't want to go there. They're not good people there. Nothing good comes from Bethsaida. Why come here? They're muttering to themselves. You won't find people of faith with Bethsaida. Bethsaida was the place where people were chided for not having faith. Jesus chides them. So it's at Bethsaida, which we had some time ago, where Jesus then heals the blind man. He makes the blind to see. So this place where they don't have faith, they are blind, he takes the blind man and enables him to see. And of course the message is, Bethsaida, they don't seem to be able to see properly, but can you see properly? And just in case we're wondering about this, I haven't just arranged it sort of left and right just so it fits on the screen nicely. We are supposed to make a connection between the healing of the blind man and the healing of the deaf man. Because if you compare the two accounts, when it talks about the deaf and the blind, it says, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and they begged him to place his hand on them. Some people brought to him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. See how similar the wording is? In other words, the similar wording is basically saying, don't miss the connection. Jesus wants us to see the connection. And if you remember as well, after he took him aside away from the crowd in one account, and then for the blind man, he took him by the hand and led him outside the village on the other account. So there's great similarities between here and here, and in the middle, the bread of life. So can you see and can you hear? that I am the bread of life, Jesus is really saying. He can open the eyes of the blind. He can open the ears. Again, similar wording, isn't it? He can open us so we can respond to who he is. The blind man has his eyes opened. The deaf has his ears opened. Okay? So, Bethsaida is in the north. Now it's time to take stock. The disciples have had plenty of evidence. Now, what do you make of it? And there's this book, isn't it? Evidence demands a verdict. You've seen everything, now what are you going to do about it? And that's the point, isn't it? So, after that, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And that's Bethsaida's on the road up north to Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? And he's going to get more pointed. So the question is, have you picked up the message from what I've just shown you? Well, other people have missed the point. Some people say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others one of the prophets. Okay, they haven't got it. What about you? The problem is with the Pharisees is that they're blind. The problem with the Pharisees is that they don't listen. They're deaf. What about you? And of course, Caesarea Philippi is a great changeover point when suddenly they click it. They've got it, that Jesus is the one that was promised. It is him, after all, who they should be waiting for. He is the one, and they have seen it. And so that's the conclusion of it. So it starts off with the Pharisees, who don't see it. Plenty of travelling around because the disciples are slow of mind and deaf. And they don't see it and hear. And finally, they do see it. So that's the arrangement that Mark gives. And just as he shows how the disciples are rather slow to pick up the obvious, the application, of course, for us now is, are we? There's some here who are slow to pick up the obvious. And that's the point, isn't it, really, of what Mark is trying to say. So let's move to the last section and ask ourselves some fairly pointed questions. They got it. Have you got it? Have you got it? Are the people sitting here who haven't yet? All of us, you see, naturally are like the Pharisees, who can neither hear nor see. In fact, they chose not to. It's a moral choice. The Syrophoenician woman who lived far away in a pagan area had faith. She got it. She had heard clearly who Jesus is. She had seen clearly who Jesus is or was. And she'd acted in faith. So what unstops the ears is the heart. What do I mean by that? In other words, we hear what we want to hear. That's the bottom line. We hear what we want to hear. And so this deaf man that we're thinking about this morning, he resembles that of a sinner in his natural state. So one who is deaf to the voice of God, both to the law of God and the gospel of God. He does not respond to the commanding voice of the law or give attention to its precepts, and he won't be subjected to it. He doesn't hear its warnings. He doesn't hear its cursings. He's not affected or disturbed by the word of God, and takes no action to avoid danger ahead. It's a bit like walking around the streets, isn't it, with your headphones in, and people getting run over and bumping into things and things because they're not attentive, they're not awake to what's going on around. And that's one of the problems with the electric cars that are coming. In fact, they're spending quite a lot of time at the moment trying to work out what kind of noise the electric cars should be making. Because silent cars are very dangerous. That's the big problem with electric cars, is that they're just, you're not going to hear them, especially in the towns. So, but the gospel is not like a quiet car that you have to listen out carefully for. The gospel actually shouts Gospel is more like a foreman in a building site saying, look, that wall is about to collapse. Run quickly. Watch out. Danger is coming. And the problem is, when the Bible is very clear about these things, when the warnings come, some people still don't listen to it. For example, Lot's sons-in-laws. He had two sons-in-law. And when it was told that Sodom was about to be destroyed, do you know what they did? They laughed. They're not listening to the warnings. So man in his natural state is like the one who is deaf, like the deaf adder who doesn't listen to the charming voice of the gospel, but actually doesn't like it. He despises it and holds it in contempt. So the deaf man is one who doesn't respond to correction. He's deaf to instruction. He's deaf to caution. He's deaf to anything that the word of God is trying to say to us. He just doesn't respond. And he's deaf to the pleading of the word, the pleading of the minister, pleading of perhaps friends who've been trying to say, like Trevor, you know, it's great to hear about Trevor, but we try and plead with people to hear the word of God and they don't want it. The simple truths of the gospel have been preached in this chapel for many years, for a long time. And over those years, there have been a large number of people who sat where you're sitting now. And some of those have had no experience of the grace of God, the life-changing power of God at all. And I suspect it's true for some here this morning. The simple truths of the gospel, and I will just say it again, if you can hear it and listen to it and respond to it, the simple truths of the gospel are that we're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. We are all lawbreakers and we deserve damnation. It hangs over us. We deserve nothing less than that, nothing less than eternal punishment for our hard hearts and years of rebellion against God our Maker and the Lordship of his Son, which we know about. But God in his love and mercy intervenes directly into this dead world. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, humbled himself and after preaching the good news of another kingdom, then goes to die on the cross, sacrificing his own life that we might enter this other kingdom, the kingdom of God, and to do so freely. So this simple message has come to you this morning again. It is here for you to hear the wonderful news that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. The one who is good, as Tim said, died for the bad, that we might be brought to God. It's simple. The righteous one became the sin bearer, so that undeserving failed men and women like you and I can now freely receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life through him. His resurrection from the grave sealed it. It proves that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth, and it proves that he is the only way by which you and I can escape damnation and have life with him forever. So that's the whole point of hearing, is that we hear the message. And that was the point of disciples being with Jesus, is that they heard his words. So the message of Christ is to be heard. And of course the miracles were there to be seen, to confirm what they were hearing. So what about the modern day miracle? Well, the modern day miracle is that you have here, myself included, those who have been born again supernaturally. That is the modern day miracle. So that those around you can hear the message of Christ and you can see in other people around it, the reality of it. So it's a simple message. Have you heard it? Have you really heard it? You see, to miss the announcement at the departure gate is not the worst thing that can happen. But to miss out on Christ's call, to miss out on Christ's call to you will result in one day unrelenting misery. There are some here who have yet to receive that grace and enter in. Can you see the ugliness of sin, your own sin? and therefore turn from it? Can you see the beauty of Christ and his grace and his goodness and his love to turn to him, forsaking everything that is not worth hanging on to anyway, and receive this bountiful offer of eternal life that is extended to you? I can think of those who've heard it week by week by week for years and yet still say, oh, I'm a good person. They haven't listened. And because they don't really want to hear the truth, they're not listening. Some just hear one verse, one lady say, oh, nothing wrong with me. And if they don't think there's anything wrong, then there's nothing they feel they need to do. They will just walk out the same as they walked in, again and again. So that's why Jesus goes to such trouble to highlight it here. The Pharisees were both blind and deaf to Jesus. And that's why Jesus says to his disciples, don't you see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Well, the message is responded to in four different ways, if you remember that parable. I wonder which of those four categories you're in. The hard heart that just bounces off? Or the one which is just fickle and shallow, a great quick response but nothing there? Or maybe one which has so many other things going on in your life that really this is just clouded out and pushed away? Or is it a heart that's good, ready, responsive, receptive? Well, if you're one of those people that still hasn't entered in the kingdom of God, and you know who you are, then I think God will say to you, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. There are many things we can miss out on life which we don't need, but to miss out on the one message of salvation while you have a chance to hear it is really important. The one way in which we can be saved from damnation which is coming. That's why it's important. That's why he says, doesn't he, part of the way through, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus said elsewhere, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Have you heard his voice? Have you crossed over? If you haven't, then call out to him now. Respond to his call to you. Listen and respond. Christ is extending his mighty arm of grace. Lay hold of it. Respond to it while you can. We will rejoice with you. We will be glad at a wonderful work of grace. And it will show in a loose tongue that has readiness to pray and praise. Joanne Mill from Gateshead was born deaf. She was born deaf, but during her 20s she had the rare medical condition Usher syndrome. And at the QE hospital up the road, she was able to have a cochlear implant. She was very grateful to the team, as you might imagine, for the successful operation. And she burst into tears when she heard a nurse reading out the days of the week. She said she was delighted by the result of this life-changing procedure to fit implants. And she said that switch-on point was the most emotional and overwhelming experience of my life, and I'm still in shock now. Hearing things for the first time is so emotional, from the ping of a light switch to running water. I can't stop crying. I can already foresee how it's going to be life-changing, and the implants will get better and better over time. I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm so happy, she says. Well, you can feel the joy of that woman, can't you? As suddenly she has her hearing. That's very similar to the joy of hearing the voice of God and entering in and responding to it. And that's the joy that we who know that have. It's a life-changing message to find new life with God. And what's the result of her hearing? She's quick to speak of it, isn't she? She wants to tell everybody. It bubbles out in joy. And that's the proof of it. We can tell if you've listened by what you say or what you don't say. The Pharisees, like the deaf man who can hardly speak, they only speak nonsense. And they only speak nonsense because they haven't been hearing properly. That's the sign. If you don't know the grace of Christ, you'll have nothing useful to say to others. You'll be like that man who's become mute and dumb. But when Jesus enabled this man to hear, we read that he spoke plainly. Those whose ears are opened have their tongues loosed in a spiritual manner by Christ. That man and woman can speak plainly of what they have heard and seen. They can give a clear account of the work of God in their souls, how they have been convinced of their sinfulness of their hearts. That person will speak of what Christ has done and how he's an all-sufficient Saviour and how he's healed them and changed them and the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that comes. That person will speak about the promises and how the new life with Satan there, the temptations and the victories and the progress and the ongoing work of God's Spirit speaking and helping. And above all, speak of this wonderful love that just flows in and then through the person. So the fact that you can hear will show in that you speak. A true Christian is someone who hears Christ clearly and therefore can speak of Christ clearly. They go together. God gave the tongue to man to speak out his glories. A genuine work of grace shows in a loose tongue that there's readiness to pray and to praise. But let's listen to what he is saying and respond to it. Amen. May the Lord help us.